I get the sense that there was real smoke. There was something going on. That something maybe has subsided. I said last week that I would bet on, if you forced me to bet, I would bet on both of them being on the Celtics next year. But I'm not slamming the door shut. I'm not slamming the door shut on some team. The Kings come to mind, being like, we'll offer you everything, all the swaps, all the picks, whatever you want for Jaylen Brown, and at least making the Celtics think about it. I don't think that's going to happen. I think they'll both be on the team next year, but they instantly could become the main characters of free agency.
Zach Lowe on his podcast, connecting Jaylen Brown to a team. Not just the Celtics are taking calls for, as I've said before, I would trade Jaylen in the right deal. I'd trade anybody. I would trade him for Cooper Flagg, not that that's happening anymore, now that the draft is passed. I'd trade him for Giannis. I'd probably trade him for Booker. I think that's kind of my list, my working list of deals I would do. Otherwise, I'd rather have Jaylen here with Jason Tatum. The hell are you getting from the Kings? Like, what? The Kings were not on my list.
Well, that would be picks. That would
be a haul of picks.
Yeah, that's what...
You're not getting even, like, Sabonis.
But I think that the thought behind that would be you would have these picks that would become so valuable because the Kings will be bad. And especially them being out west with so many loaded teams out there, they're not going to be in a good spot. So you get all these picks and either you flip those picks and go out and get somebody else to replace Jaylen, or you hold on to those picks and you go through a real rebuild through the draft.
So if you're telling me it's Sabonis and a buttload of picks, interesting. I not as good as Jaylen, but okay, I would kind of somewhat see that. If you're telling, I don't even want picks just for Derek White. If you're telling me all I'm getting for Jaylen is a bunch of picks and saving the new owner a bunch of money, I don't lie. I want Jaylen here when Tatum comes back. If it's the end of next year or more likely the year after that, I want him in place for when Tatum comes back. And I'd rather have Jaylen playing with him than Sabonis even. Other players, Giannis and Booker to me would be different. But I think it's going to be hard to find a player I'd rather pair with Tatum. So, I don't want draft pick. I don't want a bunch of draft picks for that. I don't even want it for Derek White.
I think it just goes back continually to looking at what you have with Jason and Jaylen, and that it is what most teams are striving to get when they get picks like that, when they load up like that, trying to rebuild through the draft. And they're so early still in their careers together that to just blow it up around this injury and not being sure about the future and a change of hands and ownership, I just think it's way too early. Like, it's still too early to look at that. I know he's on this massive contract, Jaylen Brown, that is. That contract is going to age okay once these other contracts start, these super maxes start being given out. And I think it's still too early to look at unless it's something that is such a crazy deal. And I'm not sure, especially when you have the new CBA and all these teams who are really trying to get under different aprons and luxury taxes, that there's going to be a team out there who's willing to take on Jaylen and give that much in return.
Yeah, I don't even love the idea. We'll get to Anfernee Simons and whether he's staying, going. Is he on the team? Is he off the team? Like, I want him here. I liked that as a return for Holiday. I was actually surprised at how good of a return they got for Holiday. I acknowledge you probably got a half step worse on the floor without Jrue Holiday. But I also don't know that Holiday's a great fit on a team without Tatum. He's a better fit on a championship contender, which is why I thought Portland was an odd trade partner. Maybe he'll still get flipped somewhere else. The deal's not finalized, similar to Simons. But I could at least understand why the Celtics would say, all right, we're going to flip him to carve out space to balance our roster and get a big. I at least get that. I don't get Jaylen and Derek White. I don't get it. And especially if you're saving money on top of it, you're already below the second apron. You're already out of the area where you were worried about being. If you need to re-sign bigs, you don't need to trade Jaylen or Derek White to get that done. There are other ways to do it, whether that's Simons, Hauser, Niang, some combination thereof. There's a lot of different ways to do that without involving Jaylen Brown and Derek White. And if you're asking me to wager on it, I think those guys are going to be on the team. But Zach Lowe connecting them to Sacramento, and on top of that, the Celtics getting their ducks in a row and just finding out what the value is for these players, that's probably a good process. That's probably worth doing to understand, you know, where these guys fit in the hierarchy of the league. But I'm not itching to trade those guys, and I just hope that's not coming from the owner and saying, I don't like this Jaylen Brown deal. get it off the team. We're not going to be competitive anyway this year.
I think with the Kings thing, like, I wouldn't be surprised if that goes back to the Drew Holiday talks, that the Kings already had that phone line open, talking about trying to figure out who's open from the Celtics to being moved and Drew Holiday. And ultimately, it seems like Anthony Simons, contract-wise, was a better fit for the Celtics because he's on an expiring deal. He's a one-year guy. It's 27.7. If they want to now turn and flip him, like it sounds like they might, to cut down on the cash even more, like that's a very easy trade piece compared to somebody like Drew Holiday, who is in his mid-30s now and has so many years on his contract. So like from a business perspective and from a basketball perspective, it was a nice fit to go for Anthony Simons. I think that they're going to flip him again because I do think the priority is that they're going to want to re-sign these bigs. And if you're looking at Luke Kornet and Al Horford, my only question would be this. Like with Derek White and Jaylen Brown, these are guys that are 30 and 28 years old, and they're very much in their prime. They know Jason Tatum well. They have the chemistry. It makes sense for them to be here 2 years from now. Does it make sense for Al Horford to be here 2 years from now?
No.
So
I don't think it makes sense for Al Horford from his perspective to be
here. I don't understand. To me, the Al Horford thing, it almost feels like a little Brad Marchand-y of like, where is the benefit here? I understand that the front office and the team loves Al Horford and the fans love Al Horford. And I get the sentimentality there, but does it make sense when you're looking at who's going to be around for the next couple years from a perspective of a big to sit around and wait and try to shed other contracts so that you can re-sign Al Horford? He's almost 40.
Right.
He hasn't played back-to-backs in 2+ seasons at this point. And I'm not saying, like, he's still great. Don't count out Al Horford. I'm not saying this from a personal perspective. When you're in the position that the Celtics are and you're making tough decisions, is Al Horford the one that you are moving other pieces around to try to bring back? Like, if you're looking at the timeline around Tatum, that's just a little bit of a disconnect to me.
Yeah, and I don't think it makes sense for Horford to want to come back. Like, he's not going to be competitive this year, and he should be trying to, and he has done this before, by the way. He left Atlanta to come here. People didn't think he was going to leave Atlanta way back when. He went to the highest bidder. People didn't think he'd leave Boston the first time. He went to the highest bidder. So, refresh my memory. Did he sign a one-year deal after they won, or did he take a little less maybe coming off the title a year ago, or was that prior to that?
I believe so. I can fact check
right now. That's my recollection, but I may not have the details on that exactly right. So I guess he hasn't taken the most every single year, but it's a little different after you win to try to get a second title.
Yeah, when you're trying to run it back
right,
and everybody's coming back, that's an extremely different position than you're sitting in now.
Correct. So I don't know how in play Horford is. He's going to have a quote-unquote robust market, and when he's had a robust market in the past, he's gone to the highest bidder. Let's go to Brian in Connecticut on Derek White. Go ahead, Brian.
How you doing?
Good.
I just wanted to talk about this rumors here on Derek White's trade that I don't think would be done, but they're talking multiple first-round picks. But I went back to look at what the Celtics traded to get Derek White, and they traded Josh Richardson, who's no longer in the league. He was waived in February. Romeo Langford hasn't played in a couple of years in the NBA. And a rookie that ended up being a first-round pick that ended up being Blake Wesley, who played 58 games and averaged 3.7 points a game.
So what's the point? Great trade?
What a great trade. It's not a Red Auerbach-like trade. Red had a few better than that, but still a great trade.
So that was a great trade. Tremendous trade. I hated it in real time. Like, I didn't get why they had to give up. I think they gave up a first-rounder, which turned into nothing.
You were sad for Romeo Langford.
And the pick swap. No, I didn't think Derek White was that good. And I'm like, I really genuinely didn't think there was a big difference between White and Richardson. I was wrong. Richardson, as he said, basically out of the league. And Derek White is, you know, on Team USA. And he's won a championship, and now he's on a heist of a contract. So, look, Brad may have more of these moves up his sleeve. I hated the Porzingis trade. You know, that to me felt like they were prioritizing the cap too much, or the apron, rather.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the original Porzingis trade when they sent your god Marcus Smart out of town.
No. That was great. Although I'm fearful Marcus Smart could be coming back, by the way. We'll get to that coming up. But, sending Porzingis out of town, I was done with Porzingis, but I thought they could get a better player if they were willing to take back more salary. I think they prioritize shaving that money off too much. So that's not a deal I love from Brad Stevens. But largely, and this includes the holiday trade, Brad Stevens has done a good job with these transactions, and Derek White would probably be the crown jewel.
Yeah, with the Porzingis trade, I guess I was a little surprised that they made it as early as they did, because I wondered if there was going to be this situation where they would have Porzingis on the roster during the season and have him play out, show some health, and then get up to the trade deadline, have him on this expiring deal where then they could flip him to a team that's a contender. And every team needs bigs at the trade deadline, so you could make him look good and you could...
There are two risks in that.
One that he gets even more injured?
Well, one is he gets hurt, but I actually don't think that's a huge risk. I think he's still an expiring deal. You only got Niang. It's not like you got a ton back. Right. You got Niang back.
No.
So you could get something like that at the trade deadline. I don't think that's a huge risk, but maybe that's a consideration. The other one is you run it back with Porzingis, and now you're kind of good.
You can't be that good.
No, right.
What are you going to do?
You can't. If you run it back with Holiday and Porzingis, which they could have, they don't have to be.
All of a sudden, Tatum's trying to come back in January. Oh, right. You're like, Tatum, no.
And Bill Chisholm's like, wait a minute, what? We're the number two
Chisholm's
seed in the East?
Super fan. He's going crazy on the sidelines.
So that's a real consideration, I think. If you want to get rid of this money at the trade deadline, and you're like, well, we could go in the next year, but we just have to dip below by the trade deadline.
The fan base turns against you.
Well, yeah. And now you're trading Porzingis and Holiday at the trade deadline?
You're killing the unicorn.
Fans would be pissed.
Death of a unicorn.
So I think that's a real consideration in this. So I didn't like that return. But
I think
largely,
they probably just needed to shed the salary.
Yeah, largely.
They're like, we got to get out from under
you
this.
But that's not, you mean salary. That's not a tax. The tax is not going to be due for a long period of time. You mean salary.
Yeah, I think like the actual cash. They're like, let's just break this down.
That's even scarier. That's even scarier. The new owner wants to start saving. The idea was second apron and luxury tax. Now he's saving salary.
Do you think it would be the same situation, though, if Jason Tatum was healthy?
Well,
I don't think it would be as aggressive if Jason Tatum was healthy, and I think that's okay to say. Like, sometimes I hear other people say they're using Tatum's injury as an excuse, as a cover for what they wanted to do all along. I honestly don't think that's true. I think they would be playing it much more towards the middle if Jason Tatum was, if they got, you know, knocked out in the round that they did against the Knicks, but Jason Tatum was totally fine and healthy. I think it wouldn't be this aggressive, but I think this just makes it that much more clear of a landscape for you to turn it in and go, next year is like, what's the best that it's going to be? You get through one round of the playoffs. I don't know.
Yeah,
maybe,
I mean,
they're really spunky.
I get it more. I get it resetting under the second apron more with Tatum out, but I do think it provided ownership. I don't think fans are up in arms. And I think they would be up in arms if Tatum were healthy. So I do think it made it easier for them to do it. By the way, I meant to bring this up earlier. You mentioned this to me off the air, Mego. Darren Dreger has another team in on Brad Marchand. So we know Florida's in the mix. He could re-sign there. He'd probably have to take less to go back there. We mentioned Boston and Toronto. Dreger adds the Utah Mammoth. What do you think about that nickname?
I like it.
You're in?
Wait, can I ask something stupid?
Yeah, sure. Of course. It's the only kind of question I ask.
What's the mammoth? Is the big animal, right?
The big animal?
What is the mammoth?
The big elephant. Yeah, like elephant.
Yeah, the woolly.
Yeah, woolly mammoth. Yes,
the
exactly.
Woolly mammoth.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Well, you said big animal.
Extinct.
I was like, well, what kind? What do you mean? Big tiger?
Well, the way that they keep saying it, because they're saying the mammoth, like, is a pack of mammoths.
Ooh.
Just called a mammoth?
Well, I don't know. That's a good question.
So that's what I don't understand, because it's not like you say the Detroit Lion.
Yeah, yeah, right.
It's not one lion. It's
so
the lions.
Are you one mammoth, or is it a bunch of...
That's why I was feeling self-conscious, because I didn't want to have a situation where I thought sauerkraut was fish again. And so I'm saying, the mammoth is the big animal, but is it the pack of big animals?
That I don't know. I now understand. Not a stupid question at all. I now understand the question. The Utah Mammoth. However many mammoths there are in there, they have what appears to be an aggressive approach this offseason. Dreger says if Brad Marchand hits the open market, look for Utah, Boston, and Toronto to be among those with strong interest. So add the mammoths to the list. 617-779-7937. We mentioned Anfernee Simons. Is he going to be here? How are the Celtics going to be able to carve out space to bring back Al Horford and Luke Kornet? Do you want to move Simons to bring those guys back? Or are there other avenues for the Celtics to go through? We'll get to that next. Text line is weighing in on the Utah Mammoth, Mego.
Yes.
Your favorite hockey team. Multiple texts are asking if the plural for mammoth, which was your question, is mammai. I don't think it's mammai, which doesn't sound right.
It doesn't sound right.
I do agree Come with on. That. Doesn't sound right. You look this up, though, because I brought up the Kraken as an example. I'm like, well, the Kraken, that's like it sounds like a singular deep water beast, not plural, not Krakens, and they're not the mammoths, plural. But you said
Kraken can be a plural. You can say Krakens or Kraken.
And a group of mammoths are?
Mammoths.
Not mammi.
No, not mammi. Not mammoth. So it's like there's just one mammoth. Together, the team, like one guy is he's a winger. He's like, yeah, I'm the front left leg of the
it's
mammoth.
It's like a Frankenstein's monster situation. Kinda. It's like all different.
You're patching them together.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You bring Brad Marchand in. He's going to be the mammoth head. Like, what is this?
It's a good question. I hadn't
thought
about it.
Which part of the mammoth will Brad Marchand be? Well, which is he going to be?
Depends on who you ask. So you can discuss 617-779-7937. We talked about Anfernee Simons. I thought a good return for Drew Holiday. Did you like that trade?
Yeah, I thought, I just said, like, from a contract perspective, really smart. You had to get out from under that Drew Holiday trade, even though I loved him like everybody else. It was a big contract for a guy in his mid-30s now. You move him out, and you get somebody on an expiring contract who's also a good basketball player. He's a 19 points per game guy. He's a guard. I don't know if they have to hold on to him because of the almost $28 million this year expiring contract. If they can't move him and he's a part of the Celtics, that's okay by me. Like, he's a good enough piece. It's not Drew Holiday. He's not, like, part of a championship contending team. It's okay. I just think that they're still going to try to flip him. I think they're going to try to flip him because...
You think now. You don't think like at the trade deadline. You
no,
think now.
I think like this week they're going to try to because they want to sign their free agents. They want to return Luke Kornet. They probably want to return Al Horford. I think Luke Kornet should be the one that they focus on because of his age and how he fits in the timeline with Jason Tatum's injury. But I think that's probably what they're gearing towards.
They need an avenue to create... financial space to go get a big, whether it's Kornet, Horford, or someone from outside the organization. Like a name I like is Kayvon Looney. Did I miss it this weekend? Did he re-sign? I know a lot of guys did. But like that's a name that I like that was out there on the market. And so I was reading B-Rob over at Mass Live, Brian Robb, and he went through a bunch of potential trade scenarios for the Celtics and Anfernee Simons, and I don't like any of them. And honestly, a lot of the ones he proposed are already gone. Because those players have either re-upped with their own team, or in the case of Duncan Robinson, they exercised an early termination clause, maybe to re-sign long-term. But B-Rob writes, the Celtics have not officially acquired Anfernee Simons yet. That deal's not done. After dealing Drew Holiday to Portland for 2 second-round picks and the point guard last week, whether Simons will officially become a member of the Celtics remains an open question, which is what Mego is talking about, as the team continues to explore trade possibilities this week, including some involving... Anfernee Simons, as Mass Live reported earlier last week. Boston is looking to find ways to trim salary, to retool the roster and maintain flexibility to bring back Horford and Kornet. Simons is a clear candidate to look for help on the cost-cutting front since he's set to make almost $28 million this year. So I personally want him on the team. I'd bring him into next year, see what you have. Maybe you can even increase his trade value. And then that's potentially a guy you spin off at the trade deadline. Or you decide maybe you want to pay him long-term. I'd want to see that through with him, personally. Some of the names that B-Rob went through that I liked on his list.
Okay.
These are deals that I at least found interesting. I'm not even saying I do any of these.
Pro Jones.
Milwaukee. Bobby Portis and Pat Connaughton, which he called far-fetched because Milwaukee wanted to bring back Bobby Portis. Turns out they did.
Mm-hmm.
That one's off the table. But that would at least make sense. You get back.
Would have.
You would have gotten back a winner. You would have gotten back a big, like, roster-wise, that one would have made sense. I would have said, okay, like, I could maybe tolerate that. Chicago, Kevin Huerter and Colby White. Kevin Herter's a player they've been linked to in the past. Interesting player. I think I like Simons better. But okay, maybe I could see some of that. Utah, Colin Sexton, gone, traded to Charlotte. Or Jordan Clarkson, who I guess is still available. But I don't find those to be overly interesting. And there's not much savings there anyway. It's basically... a swap for guys who are expiring deals, which is what Simons is. And then you get to what I think is the worst one, Mego. And I gasped when I read it. Washington and Marcus Smart. I think Smart makes $21 million, so you would save some money. They're both, I believe, expiring deals. Would they trade Anfernee Simons to bring back Marcus Smart? Honestly, I could see them doing that, and it would just be karma for me, is what it would be. But I if that's the kind of return you're talking about for Simons, they should see it through with him.
Something going on. These things happen in threes. So first you get Minka Fitzpatrick, then you get Brad Marchand, then you get Marcus Smart back to the Celtics.
You're a step ahead of me with
the
all
universe
these. That's true.
Just works. This is galaxy braining all of these leagues.
Great point.
I don't think they're going to do it just because you know how I feel about Marcus Smart.
I would be on
the complete opposite end of the spectrum from you. I would love to see him back in Boston.
But would you rather have Smart than Simons?
No.
Me neither.
Smart's just, he's had too many injury issues. He only played 15 games with the Wizards last year. And for the type of player that he has been at his best, which is so physical and so defensively focused, that's the stuff that's going to break down first. And so I don't think that Stevens would do it. As tough as he says it was for him to make that trade in the first place for Kristaps Porzingis a couple years ago, I feel like that's a little bit of a far-fetched return, but I could be wrong. Like, there could already be something in the works, especially if it just makes sense for the salary of cutting down $7 million or whatever it is.
You said you'd rather have them go after, if they were able to carve out some savings from a Simons trade, you'd rather have them go after or you think Cornette is more realistic anyway than Horford? Horford here as a fit doesn't really make sense from his perspective.
Yeah, I think Cornette just makes more sense from a timeline perspective. He's much younger. He's much more apt to take, I think, a hometown deal. He did it before. Now, he could go out and decide he wants to go somewhere like Detroit or somewhere and get paid a lot.
He really should. He should do that. So, like, let's say he does. Let's say Horford's like, you guys aren't winning. I'm ring chasing. I'm gone. Cornette chases the payday. Do you have another name you like out there? Is there another name you've kind of circled if they strike out on bringing back Horford and or Cornette?
It's not perfect. I'm a little curious as to what the Magic are going to do with Mo Wagner. He's coming off an ACL, so that's a situation that could be a little complicated with his health. But I don't know that those two sides are in a great place where they're going to continue. So that'd be another, if you're looking for a big who is going to make the impact defensively and also be able to add to your offense, which you're going to need to with Tatum out over the next year. It's just none of these situations are perfect. No. Like you're not the team who gets to make the fun trades this year where you get to go out and sign free agents and make trades for Drew Holiday and just luck into it and make trades for Kristaps Porzingis. Like, it's a lot less fun of an offseason for you. And so it's kind of looking at these pieces and saying, are we going to be in a position where Luke Cornette takes $8 million, takes something like that instead of going and trying to get paid somewhere else because that's the kind of guy he is and he'll be happy here and he wants to be around for a couple of years? Maybe he is. Like, he certainly seems to have that kind of personality, but it is the NBA. So it's all kind of relevant. Like, it's all looking at it subjectively of like, how does this relate to that, and which big are you going to settle for?
Okay, it all starts tonight in the NBA, 6 o'clock. We'll see how active the Celtics are and if any other shoes drop, like an Anthony Simons trade. Mego is anticipating one. You can weigh in, 617-779-7937. Mego in for Keefe, Jones and Keefe here on WEEI. Let's get to the Red Sox. Feels like they officially died over the weekend. We'll do that next.